Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Earlier this year, the state of Delaware offered an updated plan to address so-called forever chemicals in drinking water, soil, and air. But mitigating the presence of PFAS chemicals is a complicated and costly effort. And under the Trump administration, the federal government's support for that effort is something of a mixed bag. While the EPA recently announced it will spend $1 billion nationwide and $10 million in Delaware to help, the agency is at the same time rolling back Biden-era regulations to manage PFAS. This week, contributor John Hurl takes a closer look at how the EPA's actions affect the first state in his latest piece at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me this week to discuss what he learned. So, John, let's set the table here a little bit. As your story notes, the Trump administration's EPA has rolled back Biden-era PFAS regulations. Remind our listeners what those rollbacks do.
Well, by way of background here, Tom, PFAS was first regulated at a national level by the Biden administration back in April of 24. And that regulated, that set health limits for six kinds of PFAS. That action was actually long awaited by activists. It followed regulation by some states, including Delaware, which proposed its own limits. But those were overtaken by strict federal limits that were set by the Biden administration. Now, what's happened under the Trump administration is that rolled back some of these limits that were set by its predecessor. Specifically, what the Trump EPA has done is to delay the compliance deadlines for utilities to meet the limits on two PFAS chemicals, that is PFOA and PFOS. Those are commonly found. And then it also rescinded the regulations on four other kinds of PFAS.
And this comes as we learn a little bit more about the current scope of PFAS issues in the region from a Delaware River Basin Commission report. What did we learn from that DRBC report?
Essentially that PFAS remain widespread in the Delaware River Basin, especially in the southern reaches of it around the state of Delaware. That report by the interstate regulator, the DRBC, was based on 3 years work in 21 sites, including Wilmington and the Christina River, and it also singled out Peapatch Island for particularly high levels of PFAS concentration. So essentially what this report was saying, it came out at the end of May, was that the authorities have a long way to go in controlling PFAS in the region.
A lot of ways just kind of confirming what we already know from testing that's been done here in the state otherwise.
That's correct.
So, John, recently the EPA did announce it will send out $1 billion nationwide to help address PFAS issues, including $10 million here in Delaware. What is this money targeted to do? What is it essentially trying to accomplish?
Yeah, well, it's intended to help local communities to detect, treat, and install filters to remove PFAS from their water systems. The idea is this money is targeted not only at communities but also to the operators of water systems and private well owners.
So, with that in mind, who's going to be handling the Delaware portion of the funding, and how much can $10 million do realistically here in the first state?
Well, the money is going first of all to the Division of Public Health, and they're going to be making what they call sub awards to local communities that do have a PFAS problem. And what DPH has said is that they call this $10 million, quote, an important investment, but they also point out that the scale of the problem significantly exceeds the resources available. So the state of Delaware is saying, well, this is all very nice, but it's not really going to fix this problem.
And is it fair to say that some of the advocates and activists you've talked to are worried about this relatively low amount of funding combined with the regulatory rollbacks?
Well, indeed. I spoke with Dr. Jerry Kaufman, who he's the director of the University of Delaware's Water Resources Center. And he essentially made the same point that DPH was saying, was making, is that, you know, $10 million is a decent amount of money, but it is nowhere near enough to fix the problem. And he illustrates his argument there by talking about, you know, by his estimate for the amount of money that it costs to install PFAS filters. So, for example, Kaufman has said that it costs between $2 and $5 million to install PFAS filters on a water system serving around about 10,000 people. Now, I mean, although major water utilities like Veolia have fitted PFAS filters, the latest federal grant really isn't anywhere near enough to protect approximately 1 million residents statewide.
How does the EPA respond to those arguments and those concerns that are brought up by DPH and advocates like Dr. Kaufman?
Well, that you can sum that up in one word is pushback. They're saying that the monitoring and reporting deadlines that are now required by the Trump EPA are the same as those that were required by the Biden EPA. They do say that some compliance deadlines have been extended, and so the reason that they've been extended, the Trump EPA says, is to give water utilities time to comply without risking the violations that would result in fines, and of course those would be passed on to the communities that those water systems serve.
You did, though, talk to some advocates who suggest the current EPA actions suggest kind of a change in approach from the federal government. What do they feel that the EPA is signaling with the way it's handling things now under the Trump administration?
Well, the suggestion is that the EPA is beginning to emphasize prevention rather than cure. And Dr. Kaufman, for one, was actually pretty positive about that. I mean, on the simple basis that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I mean, it's a lot more expensive to remove PFAS. Contamination once it's entered a water system than to prevent it entering the system in the first place. And Kaufman, who has been a pretty stern critic of EPA's environmental rollbacks, he mentioned as an illustration here, he's identified PFAS pollution in Red Clay Creek in Newcastle County as originating in two factories there, and he said that, you know, if that source was stopped, then of course, you know, the pollution levels in that creek would go down.
So, John, ultimately, is addressing PFAS, at least for now, largely going to wind up in the hands of states and local governments, as we saw with the PFAS implementation plan Delaware released earlier this year that you had reported on?
Well, I think it's fair to say that we're looking at a two-track approach here. I mean, in Delaware, the state is not only DPH, but also DENREC is continuing to work on the PFAS problem. They issued a report earlier this year, which gave the public an update on, you know, 10 years of work on EPA on PFAS. And of course, I mean, the EPA, no doubt, would soundly reject the idea that the federal government is somehow washing its hands of this. But I think it's probably fair to say that we're looking at a continuation of state action on the problem, coupled with a possible move towards at the federal level, a move towards prevention rather than cure.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. John's piece looking at how federal PFAS policy affects Delaware is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We dig into a new effort to get more out of the 2.5-year-old Claymont Transportation Center. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.